Pastor Mark. Let him share the word of God with us.
Amen. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hey, that's the best response I've got yet. All right, we're learning. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter, Matthew 17. And we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 21. So Matthew 17, starting at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say to you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. However, this kind goes not out, but by prayer and fasting." Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. Father, we just ask you to open our eyes, open our ears, open our spirits to what you would say to us today. Father, that everything we do would reflect you, and that our world would see you through us, Father. That they'd want to know you because they see you alive and working and strong and powerful in our lives, Father. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that your name would be lifted up and magnified, and that souls would be added to your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So I want to share with you a little bit of background story of what was going on here. The disciples had been sent out, and a man brought his lunatic son to the disciples. Now, the disciples had been going about healing. The disciples had been going about doing all the things that Jesus told them to do, but they brought this man to him, and all of a sudden, nothing happened. Anybody ever been in that position? You know, you're just out there, and you're doing what God's told you to do, and all of a sudden, it seems like the enemy has just put a wall in front of you. Nothing's happening. And so, you know, they come back to Jesus and they're asking Jesus, why couldn't this happen? Why could, you know, you sent us out to heal the sick, to raise the dead, but it's not happening. What's going on here? I like Jesus' response. Oh, you of little faith. Anybody ever feel like they just don't have enough faith to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish? I feel it all the time. I say, God, do I really have what it takes for me to accomplish what you want to accomplish in my community? Am I really strong enough and bold enough to speak your word regardless of the circumstances? And sometimes I hear the Lord say, oh, you of little faith. You really don't understand, you know, just how powerful you really are. Amen? Amen. Remember when it's been a few months ago when we talked about the Holy Spirit. It was about the God bringing his power into our lives. Amen? It wasn't about, you know, all the other things. It was about his power to set the captive free, to deliver those in bondage, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, the power to do the work of the ministry. And we have to keep that in focus. But so often we think falls all on us. And it doesn't. It's all about him, not about me. Amen? It's all about Jesus. And if I keep that focus, if I keep it where I realize it has nothing to do with me, all of a sudden, it just takes all the weight off my shoulder. Amen? Because I know it's not my job. My job is just to pray. My job is just to present it to God so that God can work and move on it. But the disciples, they hadn't really quite grasped this yet. They hadn't come to the place where they realized that there was power in the name of Jesus. How many of you remember that song we used to sing? There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? We need to sing more songs like that. We need to get those songs deep in our spirit so that we understand that there is power in the name of Jesus. And then Jesus said, if you have just this tiny little seed of a mustard grain of faith. Now, has anybody ever seen a mustard seed grain? It's a tiny, tiny, tiny little thing. In other words, you don't need much. You don't need all this, you know, great flamboyant faith. All you need is the name of Jesus. Amen? And he says, you can move the mountains. That's why I titled my sermon this morning, Moving Your Mountain. See, a lot of times we have mountains in front of us, and we get focused on the mountain instead of on the one who moves the mountain. We get focused on what we can't do instead of what we're told to do. We get focused on the wrong thing instead of allowing God to be powerful and ministering in through us. Amen? Is that getting anybody excited? Taking all the weight off of me and putting it on him? I'll tell you, that should set you free right there. I want to take us to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 7. Whoop, help if I got in 2 Corinthians, I'm in 1 Corinthians. Doesn't help me much, does it? Second Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by what we know, not by... Okay, there's somebody catching me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. A lot of times we just can't see what God is doing, where God is moving. But we have to walk by the faith to know that what God told us to do, we can do. Amen? Go heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the word. It is so simple. We're the ones that make it hard. We're the ones that make it hard because we focus on the obstacle, the mountain that's in our way, instead of focusing on the Lord Jesus and focusing on what he told us to do. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not about what I see. It's about what he said. Does that make sense to you? It's about what he said, not what I see. It's getting awful quiet in here. Second Chronicles 7:14. We know the scripture well. We've talked about it many times. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. You see, but the problem is we see the mountain, and instead of humbling ourselves, we allow fear to come in, and we allow fear to take over, and we say, God, we are not capable. You don't understand how hard it is. I guarantee you, he understands how hard it is. But we get our focus on the mountain instead of on the problem solver. And we get to this place where we allow the enemy to just stop us cold. Oh, well, you don't understand. I prayed for so-and-so and they didn't get healed. Well, it wasn't your position and it wasn't your authority to heal them. It was God's. Amen? Well, I prayed for so-and-so, but they didn't get delivered. They're still addicted to this drug or that drug or whatever the case is. It's not on your ability. It's on God's. It's still our mandate to preach the word. And I know that scares everybody. I say it all the time. To preach the word doesn't mean to stand up in front of the church and preach like this. To preach the word simply means to share the love of Jesus. Amen? It is so simple. But man, we make it hard on ourselves, don't we? I mean, we just... If we would just get to the place where we realize that our power is in the name of Jesus, and that Jesus came to get us, the scripture says that he brought us out of the miry clay and set our feet on the rock. Amen? And if we just get to the place where we realize we've been lifted up out of that miry clay and now we're standing on that solid rock. The solid rock is Jesus Christ. And the more he lifts us up, the more he sends us out, the more our focus is on him, all of a sudden we're way up here and that mountain's way down there. And no longer is the mountain in our way, because now the mountain's under my feet, amen? And when the mountain's under my feet, it's no longer in front of me. Jesus Christ is in front of me. That ought to get you guys really excited. It really should. To know that it has nothing to do with me, to know that everything depends on him. I know it's difficult to go up to a stranger or even someone we know and start sharing the love of Jesus. I know that. A lot of times what do I say? You know, I had a good friend many, many years ago. He said, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about all the questions they're going to ask. Don't worry about it. Because they're not going to ask all the questions, so you don't need all the answers. Amen? If they ask a question I can't answer, I don't know. Let's find out together. Let's look it up in the scripture. Let's see what God says about this. And allow God's word to minister. And not try to bring in, you know, what I feel. Oh boy, you know. This is what I feel. Don't worry about what you feel. Worry about what God says, amen? It is so, so important to stay in the word of God. Not church doctrine, Church doctrine's good. That brings us together. But church doctrine also separates us sometime. Amen? Oh, I can't fellowship with them because they believe a little bit differently than me. Well, you know, I can fellowship with you. If you can't fellowship with me, I'm sorry, but, you know, I can fellowship with you. Because it's not about what I believe. It's not about what I feel. It's about what does the Word of God say. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know that little bumper sticker everybody liked to put on their cars here a while back? Been a few years. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And I'll say it again. That's a bunch of hogwash. Because if God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Amen? I can say, oh, he's this or that. It doesn't matter. Because what God says matters. Takes the Mark 16th chapter. Chapter 15 through 18. And he said to them, talking about Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And, a little conjunction there, and these signs might possibly follow. No, that's not what it says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I am not going to go to a snake handling church and tempt the devil, tempt God into picking up a rattlesnake and shaking it around and seeing if it bites me. I'm a little too smart for that, or I don't have enough faith. I don't know which one, but I know I'm not going to do it. But I do know that the scripture says if I accidentally get into a snake, it won't hurt me. Amen? Amen. There's a difference there. And I know that as I go, as I get outside of these four walls and I speak to my family, I speak to my coworkers, I speak to my neighbors, those in my community, sometimes that I don't even know. There's a lot of people out there that know that I'm a pastor. And sometimes I have no clue who they are. And I'll see them sometimes in places like Walmart, and they'll come up and they'll say, well, you believe in praying for people who are sick, don't you? And I say, absolutely. Well, I need prayer because I'm sick. How many of you know they get prayed for right then and there? I don't wait to get home. I just lay hands on them and I start praying. Amen? And I've seen some get instantly healed right there in Walmart. And you watch the people around and their eyes are, you know, this big around going, what is going on in this place? It's the power of Jesus in the name of Jesus. And it's for every single one of us. It's not about who has this title or that title. Jesus didn't say, only the ones that I'm speaking to now go. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If they believe, fantastic. There's nothing greater than leading someone to the Lord and watching their life transform. That is the greatest thing of ministry that there is. or being with someone who is bound with drug addiction and praying for them and walking through it with them and watching those chains break off and watching them start rejoicing in the Lord because they no longer have that in their heart that they want to do that thing. Why? Because they've been delivered by the power of God. But if we're not out there, guess what? We don't get to see it. We don't get to see it. But if we're out there, we'll get to see it. Why? Because His Word says so. And what did I say a little bit ago? Doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is what His Word says. And His Word says, go and do. So if I go and do, then the things that will follow are what He says will follow. Amen? Oh, but you don't understand. You're asking me to do something that only, you know, certain people in the Bible. No. You look at the first century church. It wasn't just Paul and Peter and John. It was the entire church that went about. Amen? You look at the woman in Samaria that met Jesus. She goes back and she runs into her community that she was trying to hide from. And she starts telling them, I found a man who told me everything I ever did. Isn't this the Messiah? And a whole community gets saved. Had nothing to do with the disciples. Amen? It had everything to do with someone went and told about the love of Jesus. Like I told you last week, we can keep it so simple. And we should. I don't know about anybody else, but I find it interesting that people who don't believe in God have some of the strongest theological objections to what the Bible says. Anybody else run into that? They want to argue about everything that they've ever heard about church, even though they've never attended it. Years ago, there was it's probably still on. There's a game show that was on called Family Feud. Anybody ever seen that show? And there was a question on Family Feud that they asked, what are the top 10 things that people do in church? Anybody ever remember seeing that one? Number one answer, sleep. Number one answer, sleep. I forget what all the answers were. I don't have them written down. But prayer and singing were way down the list. You're going, what church did they go to? You know, or were they just asleep during church? I don't know. But it was obvious that they had no clue what church was all about. Church isn't about doctrine. Church isn't about preacher preaching, worship leader worshiping. Church is about coming together and praising the Lord. That's why I tell you there's so many different ways to praise God, and it doesn't matter, you know, how you want to do it, if you want to jump and shout, or if you want to kneel, or if you just want to raise your hands, or if you just want to sit there quiet. They're all okay as long as our focus is on Jesus. Amen? Because when our focus is on Jesus, He picks us up from where we are and He puts us on Him, that solid rock. He gets all the muck and mire that we're sinking in off of us. And when we're up on Him, that mountain disappears that's in front of us. No longer is the problem that we're facing so big. Jesus told us, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Be of good cheer. But you know what he said right before that? He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Uh-oh. Oh, man, don't preach about trouble. We don't want trouble. We don't want to have hardships. We want everything going and easy and saleable. You know, we want everything to be so where it doesn't stress us out. But Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. You see how that works in our lives. You guys getting too quiet on me again. Our focus needs to remain on Jesus. Our words need to be filled with his power, with his grace, with his mercy. We don't need to tell a sinner that he's a sinner, amen? We really don't. They already know. But what they need to hear, what they need to understand, is that Jesus was sent to this earth so that no longer do I have to have the consequences of my sin, but I can get the consequences of Jesus taking that sin away. Not covering it up, not washing over. He took it away. That means I'm no longer there. I am now on the solid rock. I am now on the rock, Jesus Christ. I am now a son of God. That is what we need to remember. That is what we need to share with you. There's a way that doesn't make sense. Amen? To the sinner, it doesn't make sense. To the saint, it makes all sense in the world. Amen? So if we keep that in focus, if we're at the place where we know, as John wrote, these things are written that you might know. We talked about that scripture a few weeks ago. These things are written that you might know. When we have that assurance, then we know. And we want to share it. We want to give that love away. We want to see those around us. You see, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm praying that the power of God moves through this congregation so powerfully that the people outside start hearing about it. They hear that so-and-so got healed when he was in that church. Wasn't the church that healed him now. Amen? But he got healed because he was introduced to Jesus Christ in this church. And they start hearing about it. And they start coming in and say, I need some of that too. I want a little bit of that. Pour it out on me. Now there's going to be a lot that they don't want to hear. What if they don't want to hear? They didn't want to hear Jesus either. Amen? They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say, especially the religious ones. Especially those who had an agenda. But if we just share God's love, That doesn't mean that we condone stuff that they're doing. Amen? But we don't have to stand up and preach about it. Once we have a relationship, once we have the ability to speak into their lives, then we can talk about some things maybe. But if you just go up to someone and say, well, you can't do this, 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 and this, and this, guess what? You done lost them. But if you go up into someone and say, you know, the things that are troubling you, Jesus came to deliver you from. Now you got their attention. And as that relationship builds, you can start speaking life into them. How many times have I said the power of life and death is in the tongue? We have the power to speak life into them when we bring them into relationship. Amen? What's that mountain like for you? What's that thing that is holding you back, that is scaring you, that the enemy is using to keep you quiet? What's that mountain like to you? Allow the Word of God, allow Jesus to get you all the way up on that solid rock, to get you above the troubles, to get you out of thinking about what the world is going to say, and get to the place where all of a sudden you realize that mountain is now under my feet and I'm walking on top of it. You see, that's just as much a move in a mountain as seeing it go from this place to this place. Why? Because it went from this place to this place. It still moved, amen? Question is, do we really believe? Do we really believe? Because if we do, these signs will follow us. He didn't say these signs would follow the apostles. He said these signs will follow those that believe that you told about the goodness of God. Amen? That makes a big difference. So again, and I ask myself this question all the time, do I really believe the Word of God? And if I do, if I honestly say, yes, I do, I don't allow fear to hinder me. I don't care what the world thinks, because I know what the world thinks or thought about my Savior. Amen? I know exactly, because they hung him on a cross. But they hung him on a cross because that was God's plan. And God raised him up on the third day, and he walked out of that grave victorious. And the same thing will happen for us when we realize that we crucify the flesh, and that then we raise up with God, and we walk in the newness of life, and we share his love no matter where we are or what we're doing. That mountain disappears. So I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward this morning. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't know what it's all about. Well, that's okay. We have that answer. Amen?